peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Welcome to 2016 and Good Things Radio, episode number 39, the first show of the year. And it's all good because this is the year of the Arise Good Things Radio Retreat. We are counting the days. It's also the year of mercy and so many wonderful heavenly surprises that await us. That's what I love about a new year. And I just know some surprises, even on the show today. You'll just have to wait and see. We have a super full program coming up on Good Things Radio today. Actually, our good friend, our buddy, friend of the show, Father Nathan Cromley, is back. He will join us to talk about setting soul goals. Try to say that five times fast. Soul goals. And putting on a holy habit. Some really great suggestions. And also the St. John Institute. What is it? How can you help? He'll fill us in. And how to make self-improvement steps sacred. As well as we're going to talk about listener feedback. Oh my word, you guys are the best in terms of the emails that we received in the last show. So many about everything from Brian Regan, the comedian that we talked about, to Oscar pajamas. I mean, from little to big, it was fantastic. So we'll share a few of those and get to my attempt at organizing. Is it going to happen? Can I do it? And also how that benefits you as well. Our What's for Dinner feature is back this show, at least for this episode anyway, and so much more. Thank you so much for being a part of Good Things Radio today. With that, let's get our feet on solid ground and start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, as we anticipate the memorial of your baptism, it's impossible not to think about the significance of that act for all humankind and in our own lives as well. Help us this new year and throughout all of our days to live honorably, boldly, with the courage to live out the Great Commission, to live up to what we received at our baptism. Lord, at your baptism, we recall that the Holy Spirit descended. At our own baptism, the Trinity takes its abode in our soul. Lord, at your baptism, the heavens were opened. At ours, the heavens were opened to us. Help us live today and every day as daughters and sons of you, the Most High King, joyful and faithful in our mission. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I'm so thankful that I'm incapable.
That's right. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful to you because of you. Oh, dear Podbean patrons, you are keeping this little podcast that could chugging along and by the grace of God, even growing. So I thank you for your encouragement. And there are a lot of expenses that are associated with just even a small studio and running a show like this. And for believing in this show, I thank you so much. We've got a few people extra that are just coming in that I want to say thank you to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you to Vicky, to Tracy, Julie, Julia, and Amanda. Wow, you guys, our newest good friends of Good Things Radio, our Podbean patrons. What that means is that you can support the show in whatever way you'd like, whether that's a dollar a month or $20 a month, whatever you feel called to, a one-time or a regular tip jar kind of program. That's what Podbean patron means. And you just sign up to be part of the good friend group. And in return, not only are you keeping the show going and growing, but you'll also receive prayer covering every day. And I don't say that lightly. I believe in the power of prayer and we live by it. And our family covers each and every person. In fact, we just received a special prayer intention from one of our Podbean patrons and that's being lifted up. So I just want to thank each and every Podbean patron, good friend. And if you want to be a part of that, All you need to do is sign up, go to podbean.com, and you can visit the page, Good Things Radio. Just search that up. You'll find it. And I also need to put out a newsletter. I feel nervous about putting newsletters out because people get so much email, and I don't want to add to the inbox. And I know that's silly because this is goodies. It's all things that are like recipes or links that we talked about. So I just need to get over that and get it done. But in the next newsletter, I'll also have information on that too. And as always, love your feedback. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com.
Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen.
The first ever, oh man, I just love saying that. Thank you, Lord. The first ever Good Things Radio retreat is just over 2 months away, and things are heating up in a good way. Lots of excitement over here. And, you know, it's funny because when I was going over my calendar, I realized that weekend of the retreat, March 10th through the 13th, is also daylight savings time. So we're going to spring ahead and lose an hour on that Sunday when the retreat wraps up and everybody is flying home. So I'm just hoping and praying, although I'd like everyone to stay forever, that we all remember and remind each other that we have to change our clocks. And it's exciting. Every day there are new things. And I know many that listen to the podcast aren't going. So I don't want to always talk about it, but there is joy and anticipation and some updates to share as well with our kind of dream team that the Lord put together of speakers, workshop leaders. Father Nathan Cromley is going to be our retreat master. But among that group is Andrea Singarella. She is a very talented jewelry designer. She has a lot in her repertoire. She's been featured in Better Homes and Gardens publications, does craft conferences all over the country. But most importantly, she's a wonderful friend, mom, and wife. And she's going to be leading our Holy Craft Workshop and making bookmarks really gorgeous. They're velvet with little medals on them or little charms for every woman. And she left some feedback with some tips about that. Take a listen.
Hi, Brooke. It's Andrea. I just wanted to say hello and let you know how excited I am to be a part of your retreat and to be teaching the Blessed Bookmark craft. I wanted to mention a couple of things. I will be supplying all of the ladies with a little kit that has everything they need to make the bookmark. So it will include a piece of velvet ribbon and metal ribbon clamps for the ends, and then various beads and baubles and charms that we will connect to the ends of the bookmark. But if they'd like to personalize theirs and use a special saint medal or a special crucifix or any beads or charms that they might have at home, please let them know that I'd love them to bring those pieces, and we can add whatever they want to their bookmarks. I will show them how. It's simple, but fun. So I wanted to mention that. And also, we will be using jewelry pliers to make these. So if anyone has a set of jewelry, the small jewelry pliers, they should definitely bring those. And if they wanted to purchase a set, they can find them at any craft store. I think even Walmart has them. And they're fairly inexpensive. And Joann's and Michael's Craft Store, they always have their 40% off coupons. So you can use those coupons to purchase a jewelry plier set as well. So I'm excited. We're counting down. It's getting closer. And I just wanted to say hello. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Bye.
Oh, thank you, Andrea. Oh, we're so excited. And at last count, 10 tickets left. So you can find out more by visiting goodthingsradio.com. It's an Eventbrite site too. But again, I'll put that in the newsletter if I can get that out. If you're interested, there is still room.
Freshness is essential. That makes all the difference. All the difference. I like to smell something cooking. Makes me feel it. This is what good cooking is all about. This is what good cooking is all about.
Oh, one of my very favorite auto-tune viral videos right there. It's Julia Child. You could tell. It was when, I don't remember the anniversary, but NPR, PBS put that together, one of my favorites. And the reason we're dropping that in is we want to talk about what's for dinner. We're talking about cooking. And in the beginning of Good Things Radio, Jennifer Willits and I used to have a feature called What's for Dinner. And then after I started doing this show solo, I just, you know, I drove that feature right into the ground. I just didn't do it anymore because I am culinarily challenged. That's not really a word, but that's pretty much how that went. So in an attempt to turn over a new leaf, I've got a few recipes to share, not only for myself, but from some of our amazing listeners of tried and true quick dinners that work in their house. And so that's where we wanted to go right now. So over Christmas break, I made a recipe that just kind of turned out to be a crowd pleaser. It wasn't intended. You just never know how it's going to go. But this one everybody loves. So I wanted to share it. It's called ground beef casserole with biscuit topping. And the biscuits are the topper, literally. Isn't that right, Mr. T?
Mmm. This is delicious. My taste buds is going wild.
Yes, sir. Spoken with feeling from one of my favorite people in the world. I love him. But all of these recipes, by the way, are on our Facebook page. But as you can imagine, so this is basically like chili in a casserole dish, a little thicker, though, because you use tomato paste. And then it's got biscuits on top that are browned. But it's ground meat. And then you've got, I actually use spaghetti sauce, but you can use the crushed peppers and the tomato paste, some vegetables in there. I use some beans to make it like a chili, and then you put cheese. It's almost like a lasagna where you do one of the first layers, and then you do the cheese, and then another layer of the meat, and then the cheese again, and then the biscuits, and it is good. And because it was such a hit, I wanted to just start a little section in my planner called Meals We Love, so that, you know, the weeks when it's all beans and rice or hot dogs or cereal, that there is something good and hearty and healthy in there too. And Anne, she is a listener, and she sent in her favorite. She even took a picture, which I loved because the recipe is like worn and you can tell been used over and over and loved throughout the years. But the recipe is spaghetti bolognese. Did I say that right? I hope. I'm so bad with the talent. She says, here's my most loved recipe. As you can see from the photo, our recipe book, What's Cooking Italian, has many stains on the pages from years of use. I wish I could pass it off as grandma's sauce, but she didn't use recipes. I know. How did grandma do that? They were so good. It looks really good. I mean, you can even smell it. Spaghetti bolognese. It's really good. It's just, you can just smell the Italian.
That looks finger-licking good. I'm starting to get hungry again.
Now, that full recipe is on our Good Things Radio Facebook page. She linked it up. She took a picture of the recipe card, as well as the one I just mentioned with the ground beef and the biscuits on it. And Debbie, on the same thread, she shared her favorite. It's it's from Pioneer Woman, from Lee. She said, it's the Marlboro Man sandwich. Oh, my word, Deb. I'm clicking on this now. I'm looking at pictures. It's shredded ground beef. So you make the beef, and then you shred it with Worcestershire sauce, onions, and a toasted hoagie bun. She said, this is one of those recipes that the end result is impressive, but the work is minimal and few ingredients. We usually don't even bother to toast the rolls. The kids build their own and leave out the onions.
Mmm, this is delicious. My taste buds is going wild.
Yes, oh, I agree. So look out for the recipes in your newsletter coming up. And if you haven't signed up for a newsletter yet, you can do that. Just go to goodthingsradio.com. Any final words, Mr. T?
There's nothing worse than reheating pizza in the microwave. I love crisp, crunchy crust.
Well, yes, that is true, too. Me, too. Although my kids don't seem to care. Thank you so much, Mr. T. And going from Mr. T to Father C. How about that? Father, you don't hear that combo every day. Father Nathan Cromley joining us on the show to talk about how to get in gear for the new year. Boy, I'm on a rhyming roll today. How to get in gear for the new year so we can say we're here. But by developing holy habits. You know, before we get to Father Nathan, I want to just tell you something real quick about on a whim getting organized that kind of turned out better than I expected with my husband and I. And I think it worked. What we did is for the first time, we got together on a date and said, we're going to just plan out our year. Now, we usually do. In fact, we meet once a month and talk about budget. Once a week, we talk about the schedule. And then at the end of the year, we talk about how did the year go? What are our year, you know, goals for the future year? But with goals as, you know, my ministry goals, his career goals, our family goals, our goals for our faith. I mean, all these different check marks that I think are important because you always want to have, you're always climbing the ladder up to heaven. And that takes, you need to see where you're going and see where you've been and, you know, assess all of that. It's hard to actually do that though in an uninterrupted way. So what we did is we got a babysitter and we went to Books A Million, and I have a paper calendar because I'm stubborn and I just don't want to change from actual a spiral notebook, you know, routine calendar. And he had the laptop because everything he does is digital. But so we synchronized that, went to Books A Million and just planned out our whole year. The best part about it is when we were done, I could go right over to the cards section and buy cards for anniversary, for my sister-in-law, for birthdays coming up in the first quarter of the year. And I am so bad at remembering on time to get cards out that, I mean, thank goodness for Facebook because they tell you. And I do have it written on my calendar, but often, unless I have an alert that pops up on my phone, I'm like a day late and a dollar short. I don't see it until the week it pops up and then I don't get to the store. So this was a little way that seemed to work out good to get organized and to be at the store right there to buy it. Now we'll just see. Hopefully I won't lose them by the time I actually send them out. But I felt like it was a little spark that could like light my rocket ship to getting organized in a new year in a new way. So I just wanted to share that with you. And now without further ado, Father Nathan Cromley joins me on the program. Welcome back to the show, Father Nathan. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. I'm glad to be back.
So tell us what you've been up to. I know your big prayer and work has been the St. John Institute, which you shared a little bit on the program last time, but it's really revving up now. We want to pray. We want to support. I know we're going to talk a little bit in this segment coming up about how we dress at Mass, developing holy habits. But right now, tell us about the St. John Institute. What is it again?
I'm just so excited about it, Brooke, because St. John Institute is going to equip a whole generation of evangelizers for our country. It's almost like instead of saying it's coming, I want to say they're coming, because you can just look forward to young people opening new initiatives for Christ, new ways to proclaim the gospel with new ardor. And I just am thrilled about the opportunity. Full-fledged formation is what we offer. You have both a fully accredited MBA and all of the spiritual and human formation that we can offer our young people. I want to, in other words, enable a young person to work for the Lord full-time for the rest of his life and make it and endure with a positive and open spirit. And that's what the St. John Institute is going to be, equipping evangelizers for the new evangelization. So we're recruiting right now. Our first class is, the doors are open for the first class. So if any of the listeners out there know someone who's looking to get an MBA, they have to be a college graduate, but they might be looking for something to do with their life. They're a teacher. They've taught a few years. They want to know if there's something else. This is the program for them. Go to stjohninstitute.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, johninstitute.org. And there's a little card that they can fill out, and we'll reach out to them and walk them through the process. But it's just, I'm so excited because for me, it's a spirit of hope, right? It's like, instead of what can I do about all the evils in the world, there's nothing greater you can do than invest in the life of a missionary. I mean, these young people are incredible, and they're going to be opening initiatives for the poor. They're going to be opening, working in parishes. They're going to reach out to young people. We're trying to enable them to have the skills they need for the rest of their life. And the open class, the first class is open for recruiting. So stjohninstitute.org, and I look forward to meeting some of the great people of today.
Is it S-A or S-T?
It's S-A-I-N-T, okay. John Institute, yeah.
Okay. So that's what I was going to ask you, Father Nathan, the after graduation application, and you just said it. So someone that goes through and gets that MBA, what are a few of the examples? You talked about opening mission fields or being a missionary, but what does that look like in terms of starting things at church and being planted back in?
Absolutely. With an MBA, our graduates, I think, Brooke, are going to be amongst the most hireable in the church. How easy would it be to get a job when you say, I've got a fully accredited MBA, plus I've got it through the St. John Institute. So I've had a total of 12 additional classes thrown at me of theology and philosophy. I've had retreats, silent retreats. I've prayed for 4 hours a day. I've lived in a community. I've been exposed to all of the fine arts. We have 5 pedagogical aims that we want to give to a student. And that means that our students are going to be equipped with more than just facts. They're going to have soul to them. Plus all of the networking that I'm going to do for them to find them a job, opening up venues in the church. Our students, for example, would come back to a parish. Let's suppose you're at a typical parish. You have an office manager that you might never see, etc. How exciting would it be to tell the pastor, we can have an office manager who not only can run the parish from a business point of view, but who can also evangelize and is going to do it with the spirit of the new evangelization, with pep and vigor and new ideas. Well, those will be our graduates. They'll be involved in opening different types of businesses. Well, right now we have an applicant, for example, who wants to work with Christian art. She's a painter and she's a jeweler. And so she says, I want to do this for Christ, but I need to know how to run a business in order to make that something I can viable for a family. So now, because of St. Jean Institute, that young woman, instead of working for some sort of jewelry store, is going to own her own Catholic jewelry store. Another one who's applying wants to do Catholic fashion. She wants to help women find attractive dress for themselves. Well, she's going to be studying at the St. John Institute so as to open her own Catholic fashion store. I mean, there's the possibilities are endless, from working in a parish, working in a diocese, opening your own business, to, like I said, forming your own nonprofits. I really want to see my graduates going onto the streets, bringing Jesus to the peripheries, like Pope Francis talks about. But it all comes back to the same thing. It all comes down to their ability to form that in a way that's going to last. And not just have great ideas. And so I want to take great ideas, great heart, and put great skill behind it.
Well, in the short time that I've known you, I have seen this idea, this vision that has now come to fruition, overflow from your heart and be imbued in your words and really be such a prayer of passion for you that I know was given by the Holy Spirit, because it's so well formed, so right, so needed. And it's such a beautiful thing just to see this flower begin to grow. And I'm wondering, as listeners, how can we help? Do we market and get the word out? Do we pray? Do we support you monetarily? All of the above?
Well, the number one thing is prayer. Absolutely. And so, ladies, I'm just calling on you. Once again, you can get mad about the political situation. You could say, my priest doesn't know anything. Here's something you can do. If you're angry enough and you want to make a difference in the world, pray for the St. John Institute. Why not send me an email at info@stjohninstitute.org and just tell me you're praying, because that makes such a difference. And then we'll give you a prayer card, something you can put in your refrigerator to pray with every day. If you want to do more, number one thing, spread the word by personally inviting a young person you know. This is so easy to do. I want you to think right now, how many 28-year-old girls do you know who are waiting for their husband but don't know if they're ever going to find one? They're sitting at home. They're like, why do I live? What's the point of my life? I feel like I don't know where I'm going. Ah, okay. So why not propose a St. John Institute to them? Think of young men that you know. Again, they got all these noble aspirations. They don't feel necessarily called to be a priest, but they're kind of spinning their wheels. Ah, St. John Institute. We're going to put that in direction. And then the third way, boy, do we ever need financial support. If you knew what our finances were right now, Brooke, I'm walking on water, let's put it that way. And I mean, it's fun walking on water, but I sure would like a boat. So if anyone out there could help me buy a boat, that would be wonderful, because we're just a few months ahead of the end. And we really need some support. So if you go online to stjohninstitute.org, there's actually a donate now page. Very easy way to do this would be to say, I don't know, Father, I can't give you much, but I could give you $20 a month. So you think $20 a month is one tank of gas per month. So if you go through, you know, 5 tanks of gas per month, you just add a little 6th one on there for Jesus, put some gas in my endeavor, because it's going to turn out so to make such an impact. And if I just had 5 listeners give $20 a month, that's $100 a month. That's coming. That's $1,200 a year. And that, with that money, boy, we can do a lot of good. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good action steps right there. And I know that you're going to be at the retreat, which we're so excited about. So if people have questions, our listeners that are there, they can interface with you face-to-face. Also, the reason why, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show right now is at the beginning of the year, I think we all are alert to how we can improve. It's a fresh year, a new start. That's what we were praying on the way to school this morning, that this year the word is focus. We're going to focus as a family to our children who are going to school, that they will have, you know, their eye on the sparrow and on their textbook and their teacher. So I'm wondering for you, in terms of developing holy habits, we know there are a million self-help books out there and how to develop good, you know, skills in terms of communication, but how about holy habits? And, you know, I think it was Ann Voskamp, who's a blogger, that first talked about the word habit, that I remember where it clicked, and how in religious life you wear a habit. And that's what we do with our days. A habit is an attitude or a behavior that we wear every day, that we do over and over again. And that can be joy, that can be sarcasm, pessimism. So how do we get into a habit of holiness? And you quite literally could speak to that. So do you have any tips to get us started?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the reasons why self-help books don't work a lot of times, we can just keep reading them and don't work, is because they require this one step forward. And that one step forward is the difference. And so if you think, obviously, if I started to do what they said, it would happen. And so why don't I start? And the problem is because it's that one step forward. So if you want to start to do holy habits, what I'd suggest is don't take the one step forward as if like, okay, I have to change my culture. Tomorrow I get up, I get new clothes, I put a new hairdo on, and then I do all these new things. Well, it's not going to happen. You've been forming a habit for 34 years of the way that you're living now. And for 34 years, you've been working in that way. Habits come to us from our ambient culture. If you want to form a habit of holiness, first step is to not think I have to change all kinds of things from the outside. Instead, look for your ambient culture around you and say, where can I express what I already have inside into that culture on the outside? See? So in other words, you have the habit within you already. It's there. It's in your desire. What's happening is that your desires simply aren't being translated into your actions. So if you took just a one zone of your life, ladies, let's suppose a good zone. Here's a good zone for you. It's the mouth. I say that because St. James in the Bible says that if you can control the tongue, you can control the entire person. And so by controlling and getting a grip on the tongue of the person, you have the entire person. He says like an animal is led. If you take it by the tongue, you have the entire cow. Well, I mean, so of course, it's kind of like, how do I get a hold on my life and get a grip? See, start with the tongue, start with the mouth. And here's what you can do, for example. Every time that you hear or say the name of God, simply bow your head, very slightly, but bow your head. It's a little habit that you get into. But if you, for example, have a difficult time with being nasty with your speech, what you do is you simply say, okay, that's on my inside. I know I don't want to do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start to reclaim that speech. And whenever I say that something is nasty, I'm simply going to whisper under my breath, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Lord Jesus, have mercy. You will start to become aware more and more when you do that of exactly when you are being nasty and you're reclaiming that ground. Another easy way to do it. If you're someone who likes to gossip, think about why you're gossiping. The reason why you're gossiping is because you're looking to connect. It's just that at the same time, you don't maybe have anything else that you feel inside that you have to, able to connect about. That's like almost like a bad self-esteem that gossips because we don't feel like we can aim for the heights and connect with anything. So what you need to do is next time you have that temptation to be like, oh, I want to say something about someone else, simply being able to become aware of that ahead of time by apologizing enough afterwards in the sense of you saying, Lord, have mercy, I did it again. Well, that'll help you to become aware of it. And then you steer it in the right direction by instead simply praising the person that you're about to speak about.
That's really interesting. So when I hear you, it's almost like beforehand you make a mini examination of conscience, and afterwards, if you do it, you make a mini confession, you know, where you're just trying to be aware of what you're saying and thinking. So to kind of tie in on that, you know, we read about the fruits of the Spirit from the book of Galatians, and so I wanted to do a little thing. This is a kind of rapid fire, but to bring out the fruits into our spirit, how can we do that? We know they are joy, peace, love, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so I'm just going to give you a fruit and then tell me maybe little ways about how can we work on this fruit today. I'll just do a few. So how about let's try peace. How can we work on the fruit of peace today?
Peace is the result of order. I know you're all going to heave a big sigh of relief when you hear that. Peace is the result of order. Don't seek to be peaceful like I'm walking in the lilies, all is well in the world. Instead, try to make all well in your world, and then you'll find the peace. So ask yourself in your life, if you not have peace, say, where is there a disorder? And then what's one proactive thing I can do towards creating that order? And that will bring you bigger peace.
Love that. Okay, how about forbearance?
Forbearance, I think the big thing to have there is to have your heart grounded in Jesus, especially if you're going into an area where you're like, there is going to be difficulty here. First, adore, ladies. If you put yourself on the rock, the waves and the wind won't brush your way. But if you're not on the rock, even if you mean to hang on, you won't. Mm-hmm. So to be forbearing, first, allow yourself to be born.
I thought I might throw a curveball, but you did. You were unflappable. Okay. Self-control. Let's wrap with that one. Self-control.
With self-control, be controlled in order to have greater self-control. The more that you are in love, the easier it is. Think about the question of chastity. Oh my goodness. When you're in love, you don't have a question of chastity. You're totally given. And so if you're struggling with that, for example, you're struggling with self-control in different areas, think to yourself, what do I love more than that chocolate? And the more that love is engaged towards your children, towards your husband, towards whatever you're offering it for, the easier it will be.
You had to pick chocolate. You had to get that in there, my nemesis. Okay, so I wanted to ask you, speaking of self-control, about a new article that was out. And coincidentally, we received an email from Vicky, who was talking about this. On the last episode, we mentioned a little bit about veiling and dressing modestly and authentic femininity. And she wrote in on the feedback and said, could you please talk about especially teenagers at mass and appropriate dressing? Well, interestingly, there was an article that just came out by Bishop Thomas Tobin talking about this, and he says the sloppy and even offensive way people dress while attending Mass, he says, is something I've witnessed personally and regularly receive complaints about. What's interesting is he goes on to talk about not just the attire, but even what he says I've seen increasingly is in the cathedral, people carrying water bottles and coffee mugs. Do they really need to be hydrated or caffeinated during the hour they're in church? It's a sacred space, or is it an airport terminal? I wonder how many people even think about the Eucharistic fast 1 hour before receiving communion when they prepare for Mass. Of course, he said, I'm old enough to remember when you couldn't have any food or beverage except water from midnight before receiving Holy Communion. And he says it was a sacrifice, but also a clear reminder of how special it was to receive Holy Communion. He goes on to talk about the culture of noisiness and talking and socializing. He says it's a church full of people talking and creating a boisterous atmosphere before Mass, completely ignorant of the presence of the Blessed Sacrament and the spiritual needs of their fellow parishioners who wish to spend a few moments in quiet prayer with the Lord. So he says that those are just a few areas of respect that we need to do a little bit better in. Do you have a takeaway on that?
Oh my gosh, there's so much to say on this. And you know, Brooke, the good news is that here I do have a little bit of experience. For 13 years, I've run camps for teenagers, and they're called Eagle Eye Ministries. That's EAGLEEYEMinistries.org is our website. And so my gosh, I know that it's possible. I know that it's possible and that the teenagers are waiting for it. They hunger for it. The problem is, if in your family you haven't taught them this value, it's almost going to be too late. Because as a teenager, suddenly you're going to say, I want you in a shirt and tie for Mass. They're going to go berserk, and that's what we all regret. But there is another way to do it, and that is to send your teenager towards a camp or a program. Eagle Eye is a great one. We have programs in six states, so you're welcome to come. But at Eagle Eye, for example, we require all the students to dress up for Mass, and they love it. I mean, why? Because it becomes the culture that teaches them. You almost need to have that type of exposure for someone who's already been in bad habits there. But if your kids are still young enough, I really want to encourage you to make Sunday special by your dress. We all need to dress up. We love dressing up. Dressing up gives us our dignity back. And it makes us feel like we are somebody. It's not just reverence for the one we're going to. It's also ourselves saying, hey, you're a man. You are a woman. And there's more to your life than laying around.
Okay, I want to ask you this, though, because coming from a Protestant radio station, there was a lot of attitude like, I'm not going to be somebody that I'm not. If I have, you know, if I have tattoos from head to toe and piercings and flannel, whatever I want to wear, God accepts me as I am. And that was on. You know, that you do see on billboards and bumper stickers, and it always rubs me the wrong way because I feel like it's a cop-out. But how do we best evangelize, since this is where you're an expert in, to those people who say, you want me to be somebody that I'm not. You want me to dress up and be, you know, stiff and buttoned up, and that's not me.
Well, I would, you know, I mean, like, obviously they have a point there because God loves everybody, et cetera. But is that really, like, are you limited to wearing sweatpants for the rest of your life? You can't wear anything nice? So, I mean, like, maybe you don't want to wear a shirt and tie because that's not your culture. Okay, but you do have a way of dressing up. If you were going to go out on a date with a beautiful girl, would you dress up? So I'm willing to give some sort of like, okay, leeway for some person who comes from a culture, like an inner city world where they absolutely have no, okay, but that's a real extreme case. I mean, the 99% of humanity has a sense of knowing what to dress up with, and they need to do that for their sake as well as a way of rendering homage to God. So when you present this to a teenager, that's the trick. It's like if you make it like God wants you to do this, and if you don't do it, you're not loved. Well, obviously you're doing it wrong, or God doesn't accept you the way you are. You're doing it wrongly. But here's how I do it with the teens. I say, this is a chance for you to render homage to God. And it's a chance for you to stand before God on behalf of other people. And so when you do this, you want to put the best of yourself forward. So instead of saying you need to look good in order to whatever, be strict for God, that's not the point. We want to say we want you to give the best of yourself. This is a moment to be at your best. And they respond. It's not that big of a deal, especially if you make it in their culture. What's going to be hard is if you have a 15-year-old now, or, well, 15 is still kind of young, 18-year-olds, it's a little bit tough to change. And that's where, though, if you expose them to where other young people are doing it already and dressing that way, they click. And then one of the things I've noticed is that I've had young people leave my programs going back and dressing up in church because they've seen it as something that's part of their why. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of like, people will tell me God doesn't need it. He doesn't care how you're dressed. I'm like, well, I'm not sure that that's the case, because if I care how you're dressed, well, why wouldn't God care how you're dressed?
Yeah. Well, and you know, it goes back to almost what you said. It does, what you said about being in love. You know, on your wedding day, you're not going to say, well, I'm just going to wear sweatpants because you're going to love me how I am. Although we are seeing, you know, weddings take many different crazy forms these days. But I think that's a great point, where if you are in love, you want to look your best. Like you said, on a date or on your wedding day, you dress up and you give your best to your beloved. Mm-hmm. So that's a great point.
I have a program that's a month long, for example. And we have a dress code that is all the mornings from the beginning until 1 o'clock. And whenever you're in the chapel, the dress is business casual. And I'm amazed. These 20-somethings love it because they say it makes me feel like it's serious. It makes me feel like I have something to give. And that's the attitude I think you need to inculcate. So it's hard with teenagers because you just want to put the law down. But you can't really do that with teenagers. You have to do more than put a law down. You have to incorporate it into their why. And that means a heart-to-heart talk with them about how great they really are and about how they can show that greatness. And I think that that's the approach that I would take.
Okay. And I'd also like to share a note for any game developers. Maybe you could put a scene where the person's in church dressed up, because that would be all that my son would need to be like, oh, and have it click, because he's in that mode. But thank you so much, Father. And from Developing Holy Habits to the St. John Institute, it's always a pleasure and enlightening to have you on. And we, of course, are so excited about the retreat.
Well, I don't even know your listeners, Brooke, but I feel an affection for them somehow. So I'm praying for you all, ladies.
Oh, and guys, you know, Ken is one of our Podbean patrons, good friend of the show, and he is a web developer, actually. And so I wanted to quickly ask you about that. And I know we have to wrap up, but do you have technology programs, or is that going to be at all in the future for St. John Institute?
Absolutely. So anyone out there who would like to mentor my students or help out with the St. John Institute, my goodness, yes, of course. Be a part of something great. This is a solution. I got tired of complaining. I go around and everyone's complaining, and I'm like, why would everyone keep complaining? If we spend our energy doing something and building, we might be a lot more, you know, bigger over our complaints. So anyway, yes, of course. And salute to all the guys out there too. Sorry, I always talk to the ladies. God bless you.
Thanks, Father Nathan. Would you lead us in prayer as we wrap up today?
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you are the source of our peace, and we place ourselves in your arms. We entrust to you our lives, and we worship you. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Father Nathan Cromley. And again, he will be our retreat master coming up. On our next podcast, I am lining up an old friend, if we can connect via Skype. He said he would do it, but his name is Jimmy Pena. He's the founder of Pray Fit, and for a while was the personal trainer of, you remember Slayer from Saved by the Bell, Mario Lopez. And not only that, he is just a wonderful guy and really focuses on getting fit spiritually and physically, and that we have a body, but we are a soul, and it works together here in our mortal lives. And so he's just a great guy. So he'll join us on the next episode. Thank you for being a part of episode number 39 of Good Things Radio. It means so much to have you be a part of the show here every podcast. And if you want to chime in, we'd love for you to be a part of the show. Every email is important. You can do that at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's how you can reach out, share your input, recipes, thoughts about the show. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is an amazing producer and wears many hats. You can find out more about him, how he might be able to help you, at cominghomestudios.com. Also, if you'd like to help us out, and you can, please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave a review. What did you think? Did you like the show? Do you want to share it with others? If you leave a positive review, that helps others find us as well too. And as always, you can find us at goodthingsradio.com as well as podbean.com. You can download the app and look for us at Good Things Radio. Thank you. Thank you for being part of Good Things Radio. Until next time, friends, God bless you. Happy New Year.